Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Insatiable Appetite. Yeah, so we are serious here when it comes to providing the latest consumer insights and cultural food trends, and wanted to give our listeners a little behind-the-scenes peek into some of the fun that we get up to here at the Hartman Group that helps inform our perspectives. This is Melissa Abbott here. I am the Retainer Services Vice President, and I am joined once again by my colleague, Robert Hashizume, who is our Trend Trek organizer extraordinaire and guide into all things worthy of exploration here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest.
Hey, Melissa. Yeah, beautiful Northwest for sure. So glad to be able to do this podcast again with you. And yeah, we've been both on the Trend Trek planning committee for so long. Been on so many fun and interesting food destinations over the year. You know, we try to get the folks here at Hartman a way to experience the latest in food trends at actual physical locations and taste real food that's trending. Since most of us are, you know, usually on our laptops virtually the past couple of years, you know, the majority of the time. So,
yeah. And so can you tell us, our listeners here, a little bit about the history of the Hartman Trend Trek?
Yeah, absolutely. So we used to, you know, as a food research company, we do these ad hoc trips to check out some interesting retailers, such as, you know, check out Amazon Fresh and how there's no staff behind the cash registers. You just take your app and walk out with all your items. Or we do some smaller internal tastings. But things really picked up with Trend Treks when we formed the, you know, the Trend Trek Lab Group way back in 2013. And we made these treks or field trips and tastings a dedicated part of the Hartman Group experience. So now we do these treks four times a year, you know, once a quarter. And even during COVID, you know, we did the virtual trend treks on Zoom or Teams. And one of them was making fermented pickles in an online cooking class because fermented foods was picking up during COVID because it helps your immune system and digestion, which was important, so important those days, right?
Yeah.
And then we also watched videos on food sovereignty, which a couple of them you suggested, which are great. I mean, but they're way better. These treks are way better participating in person, you know, with others, our colleagues. So earlier this year, we visited an organic farm where we put on our gumboots and warm jackets and visited 21 acres just out of Seattle for a trek while we're researching our organic syndicated study. Our report, and you know, we actually learned about regenerative agriculture, talked to actual farmers wearing their overalls with mud and dirt under their fingernails, and so actually standing on where they're actually growing crops organically, and they're talking about, you know, climate change, some of the challenges of growing food and organically, and you know, pest management, water management, and especially water is more and more pressing these days with some drought conditions. So that was a fun trip, absolutely fun trip. Hope to visit them again. We also cleaned up local beaches and learned about plastic waste management with Puget Sound Keeper. You know, they're the nonprofit organization that wants to keep Puget Sound and our waterways clean, you know, for the orca whales, the salmon swimming in our beautiful oceans outside of Seattle. And that was during our that helped our sustainability syndicated report that we do every 2 years. So, you know, we visited all sorts of places in the past, like Starbucks Reserve when it first opened and at their corporate headquarters, their flagship operations. And it was fun to watch the coffee roasting process. We visited chocolate factories, tea shops, like High Mountain Oolong Tea from Taiwan, cannabis dispensaries, and much more. So we've done a total of 32 of these treks. Can you believe that? 32?
Holy cow, 32. That's amazing.
Yeah, and we'll be doing the final one this year, this month, when we'll be doing a tasting of various food tech items, since, you know, our current syndicated study is on food and technology. So, Melissa, you've always had these great ideas and potential items to introduce to our colleagues and here at the Hartman Group. And so you found a coffee that is not made from coffee beans, something like that?
There is Atomo is a brand here in the Seattle area. So everyone should stay tuned because we're going to be reporting on that in the new year in 2023 on some of the products that we'll be tasting at our upcoming internal, well, we call it an internal trend track because we're doing it at our offices in Seattle and then online for our folks who our team members who are remote. So we're going to be trying Atomo, and we're just really excited to be able to try a product that is really tapping into the meaning of sustainability. And, you know, speaking of sustainability and health and wellness, we were really excited to do an internal tasting of Injera for our last internal trek. And it was really exciting. So, Robert, you know, like, can you give us a little bit of a background on, like, how, what did we do? What was the ins and outs? We ordered some Ethiopian food, right? We have a pretty great selection of Ethiopian food restaurants here in the Seattle area. So, you know, tell everybody about how that went down.
Yeah, that was a very fun trek internal tasting that we did. We gathered all our colleagues at the Hartman Group, and we did a tasting. We picked up a bunch of injera and other dishes from a restaurant in Seattle. And basically what injera, we wanted to expose the Hartman Group to injera. So we wanted to let them know what it is. And it is this food native to Ethiopia and Eritrea and some parts of the Sudan. And it is a fermented flatbread that is made from teff, you know, which is an ancient grain. And it just has all these, so many nutritional benefits. I was surprised. I did some research on it, and I found that the health benefits of injera really align with the modern wellness consumer values. You know, injera has so many of these benefits, such as, you know, being gluten-free. That's one call out that many consumers are looking for, you know, in our health and wealth studies. But 20% are avoiding gluten, right? So that's a pretty sizable market. Injera and teff is plant-based. So, you know, many consumers, of course, want to eat more vegetables and plant-based items in their diet. Injera has protein and fiber. So also from our health and wealth studies, they're usually the top ingredients that consumers are trying to add or seek in their diets. In our last health and wealth study back in 2021, like 55% were trying to add more protein and fiber.
Yeah.
It contains probiotics. Injera contains probiotics because it is fermented. So it has all this healthy bacteria for the gut. And you know, in many places around the world during COVID, fermented foods, which contains a lot of probiotics, increased in sales by like almost like, I heard like 900% increase in sales of sauerkraut, 900% increase in sales in kimchi, you know, fermented foods, which with the belief that many consumers had that, oh, it'll protect, it'll boost my immune system and help me out through this time. So, which is amazing. And there's also the digestive health benefits, again, with the probiotics, with a healthy gut bacteria. It helps with the digestion, as well as all the fiber that teff and injera contains. And finally, you know, injera, it's a global flavor. You know, we track consumers all the time, and the young consumers like Gen Z, about half of the consumers are people of color. So they're way more open to trying foods from different parts of the world and having these tastes that, you know, you might not normally have in a typical day in a regular meal. So,
yeah, I love this thinking about a global ingredient such as injera or teff in this way, right? And so when we can look at it from how it's authentically created, from an Ethiopian restaurant, you know, we're really lucky here in the Seattle area to be able to have access, right, to how this flatbread that can, you know, you fold it up, you put all the stews and the ingredients, the meats and the vegetables, you know, whether you are a flexitarian or you're just, you know, you don't eat meat at all, you can have all these different flavors and vegetables, you know, that you can put into that injera, right? And mm-hmm. What's so cool about that is that it is, you know, you eat it with your hands. I love when, you know, you can access a food culture, you know, even if it's in your own city or town, and you can tap into, you know, the way that people are eating in other parts of the globe by just accessing through food. It's just such a wonderful way to experience a different culture, a different perspective, right? So I love that. And what's so cool about this, aside from the fact that, yeah, injera is so healthy, it had, as you mentioned, Robert, you know, it's inherently gluten-free. So that's one of the things I absolutely love about this. I love when there are products that are inherently gluten-free and they're, you know, whether it's polenta from Italy or tortillas for the corn that are based in corn and masa from parts of Mexico. You know, there are so many ways to have these inherent gluten-free ingredients and rice noodles from, you know, Vietnamese food and pho, these soup bowls. So it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, like a replacement for, you know, wheat in a way, in a particular recipe that you might have grown eaten while you were growing up. So yes, those inherently gluten-free products, again, like you said, really great for the digestion, because we do know that digestion is the cornerstone of all wellness. And, you know, with so many, you know, whether it's the pandemic or any other kind of seasonal cold, we want to stay healthy, and our digestion is the way for us to tap into that wellness and keep ourselves and our immunity going strong. So we're just really excited to be able to, you know, bring that together as a group at the Hartman Group and be able to share these flavors and this food culture together in a way. So it's really neat to be able to just tap into, you know, what the Ethiopian and the Eritrean community. It's actually larger than the African-American community is here in Seattle. So I'm not sure how many folks are aware of that, but we are really lucky, like I said, to be able to, you know, tap into this food culture that is right here in our backyard in Seattle.
Absolutely. So, we wanted to maybe let our listeners know, how did we come up with injera tasting for the past trek? And so we actually discussed injera on a previous podcast. I don't know if you remember, episode 124. we gave a listeners towards the end of the podcast, hey, what should we do for our next trend trek? And injera tasting was one of those options. And so we just went with it and just got everything going and ordered it and had a great tasting. So
inspired. Inspired. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And another reason is I personally like the taste and the health, especially the health benefits of injera and probiotics and protein. It's just so much goodness within such a simple food, but it's so healthy, beneficial for you. So wanted to share it with the rest of the Hartman Group, get them exposed to it, because it could be, you know, it could be the next, possibly the next superfood. It just has all the cues, like protein, gluten-free, and young people seem to enjoy it. So
yeah, we do know that younger consumers are certainly more interested in different types of flavors and cuisines for that matter. But what's interesting too, and you mentioned it a little bit about the fact that because injera made from teff, which is a tiny superfood grain, that it is, when it's fermented, it has that little bit of a sour taste, kind of like sourdough bread. And what we do know too is that our palates are changing. You know, we're what we ate when we were younger here in the U.S., depending upon what generation you're from, I have to say it is quite true that a lot of researchers are finding that our palates themselves are changing. We're becoming more accustomed to sour and bitter flavors, and we're welcoming in those flavors. And because there's a lot of health benefits, and it's also exciting and interesting, rather than just like that, you know, very sweet and very salty or fatty. So Robert, remember we were talking about how there's a possibility, like there could be, you know, an injera style chipotle, where injera, instead of a burrito, right? You know, you're filling up your, you know, you could go down the line and say what you would like in your injera and then take it to go. And so we see a lot of opportunity for something like injera in the fast casual space. So there's a lot of health benefits, and we do know that, you know, things like eating with one's hands, you know, like that's something we eat, you know, sushi and burritos this way, and burgers. So why not injera? It seems like it's time for us to explore some of these amazing foods from the African continent. And it might be getting its start here in the Seattle area, especially if we have anything to do with it. I think we would say that this is definitely something to watch for in the coming years, especially when we think about food service for 2023.
Yeah, that for sure. I like that idea, the Chipotle with Taff and Jira. I mean, why not? I mean, and make it maybe even fusion as well. I mean, like in some food trucks in LA, they have kimchi burritos or some other fusion dish as well. But I know you like to mention Taff and Jira in your ideas of food reports released every year, and other ingredients that are what you like to call around the bend. So it has the potential to take off in food culture. And because of all the health benefits of Jira, of course, but we also discussed as a group within the Hartman group. I mean, is Jira going to take off? We know the health benefits, but are there going to be any challenges to widespread adoption of Jira? And we went over some of them. I'm glad you mentioned the sour taste. Some of the participants, I mean, I personally am okay with sour taste, but some participants mentioned they're not used to sour tasting breads, but I mean, it's also available as a sourdough bread. And I guess the sour taste comes from it being fermented. So, and many other fermented foods are somewhat on the sour side, like yogurt, of course, and kombucha. But like you're saying, it might be an evolving taste or change in the palate in the American consumer. And, like you mentioned, we also discussed about the concept of eating with hands. During that time, we ate mostly with, the restaurant provided the forks and stuff, and most of us ate with forks. And we thought, if you go to the restaurant dining in, most people eat with their hands and stuff, and not with utensils. So it's kind of interesting. We discussed how come some foods are not acceptable to eat with your hands and some things are, like pizza, burritos, and, burgers and fries, right? But it's kind of an interesting discussion. And I'd like to see, it'd be interesting to see how much it grows, because it's not among common ethnic cuisines. It's not up there. Injera is not up there with like burritos or pizza, sushi or hummus, right? And then within our group that we sampled, it was about the majority said that they have not tried injera before. So although there's some who've been there many times, it's one of their favorite cuisines, but there's definitely potential there.
And I think too, the idea of like the fact that it's somewhat more opened. So, you mentioned fusion, like taking like Korean and Mexican food in some of the food trucks. If there's, taking some license with something like the injera and creating, it's almost like a wrap or like the flatbread or crepe, and then, folding up, that might be something where consumers, who are here in America, we're a little bit more used to seeing things rolled up or folded. And that might be like where a little bit of a learning curve is. But hey, if we want to go ahead and eat it with a fork, we do teriyaki or something like that, I think that's, just as long as we can get injera and teff available to more consumers, that seems to be something that would be really great, just overall, just diversity within the U.S. diet. And teff is a great way to explore that. So it's really neat to be able to see how the folks at the Hartman Group doing the tasting, and just kind of a little bit of a snapshot and a little bit like more of a sourdough flavor, folks aren't necessarily used to that. It's a little bit surprising. But I think overall, when we think about the younger consumers across the US, those who are, we know from percentages that they're much more interested in trying global cuisines. You get some spice in there, you get some vegetables that are, cooked with some heat and some flair and some flavor. Wrap it up in that, really beautiful injera flatbread. I'm seeing some opportunity around the bend.
Yeah, absolutely. And, gluten-free, I just don't see it going away. And with teff, though, one of the other challenges we were talking about, teff in the restaurants we're talking about, Jeff, is a higher price point than other ingredients such as wheat and corn. You know, those are produced in huge volumes and sometimes subsidized by the government, and they're huge commodities in the U.S. and globally. So those items are, you know, TEF is trying to compete at those price points, and it's obviously TEF in Nigeria is going to be slightly more expensive. So that's one of the other challenges. And you know, there's other gluten-free options that are more available and inexpensive, like rice flour, like you mentioned, the pho, corn, etc. So, you know, but you know, none of them have the protein as well as being gluten-free and the probiotics. It's almost like a miracle food that this Nigerian TEF is.
Yep, absolutely. And the fact that it has that fiber too. So this is pretty exciting stuff. So we're going to keep our eye peeled, so to speak, on trends and what's happening with injera and where TEF is showing up. You know, how it's showing up in crackers and other types of gluten-free breads. It's like one of the mix of the ancient grains that oftentimes you see in a chip or a bread. You know, just read that ingredients panel. You will see TEF in there. We just don't see it advertised as much on front of pack. But do stay tuned as we really keep our eye peeled, as I said, on what is coming next with TEF. We're going to be sharing that with you in the year to come. And we'll also be sharing our food technology tasting that we'll be engaging with within before the end of the year with our listeners as well, to tell you a little bit about some alternatives in the coffee space. So, Robert, anything else you want to mention about our internal tastings or our trend tracks here at the Hartman Group before we sign off?
No, they're always fun, and I'm really into injera, so I could see other people.
Awesome.
This has been great. Always doing these podcasts with you is always fun and informative.
Thanks, Robert. It's always great to chat with you, and I love figuring out what the next thing around the bend is. We always have a great time doing this over the years, so, right?
Exactly.
Well, thanks, everyone. And if anyone is interested in learning more about our trend tracking process, we loved going on both virtual and in-person trend treks with our clients. So be sure to reach out to us at hartman-group.com. And if you're interested in our Ideas in Food annual report, our Hartman Retriever Services clients have access to that report. So do reach out to us if you have any interest in becoming or want to learn more about becoming a Hartman Retriever Services client. Until next time, thanks very much and have a great one.